4 p.m. Is there a motion to approve the agenda?
I motion to approve the agenda.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Carmina, second.
Okay. So is there a motion to approve the meeting minutes for February 9th, 2021?
I motion to approve the minutes.
I also second, Carmina.
Okay. So we'll move on to public comments. At this time, comments from the audience may be made on items not listed on the agenda that are of public interest and within the subject matter jurisdiction of the district. The committee has a policy of limiting speakers to not more than 3 minutes. The committee cannot take action on items not listed on the agenda. Public input may be offered on the agenda item when it comes up for discussion and or action. Are there any public comments at this time, Andrea?
No, there are no public comments.
Okay, hearing none, we'll move on to old business. Number one, funding request schedule. The information I believe is in the packet on pages 7 to 9. Is there any new information on this or something that we need to know?
I'm sorry, did you say page 79? Is that
7 to 9?
Oh, 7 to 9, okay.
Mm-hmm. Does anyone have questions about this item? Hearing none, I'll move on to grant payment schedule, which is located on page 10 in the packet. Does anyone have any questions or comments about the grant payment schedule?
No.
Okay, hearing none, I'll move on to number 3, Live to Rise Rental Assistance Program. Who will be discussing new information about the rental assistance program? Or was the information just so that we know that the new application process?
I will provide a brief update on that. I just want to share with you that the County of Riverside just announced that they are relaunching the rental assistance program. They have voted to approve $57 million in emergency rental assistance program with funding from the Department of the Treasury. Combined with previous rounds of the CARE Act and Community Development Grant, this is now a $90 million effort. And it will benefit a lot of residents in our region. So Live to Rise has created a website to help families that are going to apply for this rental assistance program, and they have hired 25 employees that are going to help with the distribution of these funds, checking on eligibility and helping everyone access these funds. The eligibility to this fund is limited to renters in our county, of course, with a current lease agreement, who are earning 80% or below of the area's median income and can document loss of income due to COVID-19 impact. So that's the information I have, and I have taken this from the supervisor's office.
Okay, thank you, Juan. Does anybody have any questions?
No.
No.
Hearing none, we'll move on to program updates. Number one, Coachella Valley Health Information, a COVID-19 testing and vaccinations. Is there any new information? no one has any new information on this, on vaccination sites or?
Alejandro, do you have any brief update on what's happening with the CVHIP and the COVID-19 vaccines?
With CVHIP?
Yes.
Yeah,
I think this is remaining from the last meeting, and just a brief update will be enough. I think that the update is that testing and vaccination events are now linked to CVHIP, correct?
Yeah, there is something that is that the county or Aunt Bertha, has developed like a little link where we could update where the vaccination events are happening and testing events as well. So I'll be working with Vanessa, who is taking over some of my CVHIP duties as I'm focusing on COVID-19 testing and vaccinations. So we will be updating that information on a link. We'll be placing a link on our landing page. So as folks are looking for those kind of resources where we're testing and vaccinating, and obviously if they qualify for that tier, then they'll be able to get information on how to register and where the location is for those specific events.
Thank you, Alejandro.
Thank you. Does anyone have any questions? Hearing none, I'll move on to number two, which is the Desert Healthcare District and RAP Collective COVID-19 Recovery Fund. Is there any new information on the collective fund?
Yeah, quite a bit, actually. As of today, we've had at least 22 applications that have come in. They're all averaging around $10,000, right at the not to exceed limit, which puts out a total ask of $197,525. The cutoff for the applications to end is by close of business on this Friday, the 12th. And on the 20th, so then we'll give us next week to review. And on the 22nd, we'll be meeting with RAP and picking which ones should, or selecting which ones. So on that note, for transparency's sake, I remember last time it was district staff, and it was one person from RAP staff and their board president. And Letty had requested that there be a little bit more participation. So Yvette, if as chair of the program committee, would you be willing to work with the staff and RAP staff and a board member from RAP to look at these when we get them all in and get them all collated and things like that?
Yes, that'll be fine.
Perfect. Thank you. We'll start sending you the information when we get all the grants together. Eric is doing a really good job collecting them all together, and Megan's going to write a summary sheet like she did last time. But it certainly runs the gamut. What's kind of saddening is that a lot of these organizations, you can really tell they need funding, they need help, but they go from Palm Springs Playwrights Festival to Palo Verde College Foundation to something called Magic Jungle, PDLQ Youth Football. So it's going to be quite interesting when we go through them to see if they are, who qualifies in that. Does anybody have any questions?
No.
Thank you, Donna, for the information, and I look forward to going over that.
Great. We look forward to having you with us. Thank you.
Thank you. Hearing no questions, we'll move on to the grant funding requests. Number one is consideration to recommend approval of grant number 1141, Martha's Village and Kitchen Homeless Housing with wraparound services for $210,905. The information is on pages 11 to 32. Does anyone have any questions about this grant or wants to hear more about the information?
I just wanted to add that I'm actually really happy that we're giving this grant to Martha Village and Kitchen. So good job. Yeah.
Well, we have.
Is that your motion?
Yes.
Yeah. That's what I was going to add, because we haven't made a motion or approved it. So Carmina makes a motion to approve. Does anyone second it?
I have questions.
Okay.
Should I do those now?
Yeah.
All right. For staff, can someone please tell me if we're duplicating efforts by approving this grant and then in the foundation approving the Housing First CVAG grant?
No, it's not duplicate. I'm sorry.
And the more so, like, are we serving the same people? Maybe not duplicate of the services, but are we serving the same people twice?
I wish Martha's Village was on the phone. They're not on the meeting, but I can speak to the fact that the Housing First is more with through CVAG is the diversion and crisis stabilization units. They do not really fund the shelter piece. So this is where we're filling in, stepping in the gaps and filling those families and individuals that are either actually staying at the shelter. So there might be a little bit of cross duplication of some families, but the families that maybe that go into the shelter then will go into some rapid crisis stabilization units and then hopefully onto permanent housing. There might be some crossover and some wraparound services, but I'm thinking not, because it's a completely different aspect of homelessness and sheltering.
Did have three more questions, and I think the people who may be able to answer these are the folks from Martha's. So if they're not here, I may not have the answer to my question. But
checking again.
Excuse me, Greg is on the line, then maybe he has his hand raised. He may be able to answer some of your questions if you like.
Sure, yeah.
Go ahead, Greg.
At least this one, I think, is the one he can answer.
Yeah, thank you. And Director Borja, Donna is correct. There wouldn't be a duplication of services. With that being said, though, so on the CV Housing First program, if the outreach team, if they encounter someone, and of course the CV Housing First targets the chronically homeless that are on our streets or coming out of the hospitals, if they encounter someone that would be willing to enter a shelter program, primarily that would probably be CVRM, but it could also be Martha's, especially if it was a family, we would do that handoff to them. But this allocation specifically funds those services at Martha's. So there wouldn't be a duplication of staff or programming.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Greg.
And I may be able to answer the others if you ask.
So my next question really was, like, why does the encampment exist outside of the walls of DRMC, or Martha's Village and Kitchen, sorry, very wrong place. Martha's Village and Kitchen, their main street, the street to their entrance, has like a nonstop, it just looks like people aren't being helped. And I'm wondering what is going on.
So that's a great question. And that's a problem not only in Riverside County, but statewide and across the country, is that certain individuals will not accept services. So those that you're seeing in the encampments, not just on that street, but throughout the desert, are ones that we constantly do outreach. We've actually done cleanup events of that site a couple times. Unfortunately, if it's private property and there's no non-trespass order, we're not allowed legally to move them. If it's public property, if they do not take shelter, we're not allowed to remove them either, according to state law. But the primary reason, Director Borja, is that many of those individuals just refuse to take services. Or more often than not, sometimes it'll take 40 or 50 encounters by an outreach worker to get them in to help. But I will assure you, between CV Housing First, between the county's efforts with Project Room Key, other programs in behavioral health, as well as Martha's and CVRM, there are hundreds of people being helped in the Valley, but just not all of them want to have that help.
And Greg, if I may ask, do they all, Martha's, if they are on some kind of substance abuse or a registered sex offender or other things that could be harmful to the families and children that are at the shelter? Do they check for that?
That's correct, Donna. Martha's is a little bit more restrictive, and that's primarily because of the number of youth and families that they have in there. They try to have as little barriers as possible. That's basically substance use, pets, partners, we call those barriers. But Martha's does have to be a little bit stricter because of the makeup of their population.
My second and third question. One of the things I would like Martha's to ask us for is like money to help right outside of those walls. I'm very curious if Martha's like lets people who need the bathroom, who need to shower, who need to wash their hands, especially during the pandemic, like who are living right outside of the walls, go into Martha's and seek, I don't know if that's a service, right? But like hygiene. So I was wondering if that was ever part of the conversation, part of a request for any of that from us. And it may not be of us, right? It may just be of the city of Indio or other cities to support, but I'm just very curious.
Dan is on the phone, and I don't know if Dan, if you can answer that question for Director Borja. Oh, that's the blood bank. Never mind. That's not Martha's. Director Borja, I think maybe they may, but I'm not too sure. I know they also have walk-ins that come in and take advantage of their food pantry and meals. They have a lot of low-income seniors that live around there as well who come in and get Depends, clothes, Ensure, things like that as well, not actually being sheltered. So whether or not they allow some of them in to shower, maybe they do supervise it. That's a really good question. I've written it down and I will double check with Martha's to make sure that your question is answered.
Yeah, and then see if there's like any funding that they need to help support that, right? Like we are in the pandemic, folks need to stay like clean and hygiene and hands washed, things of that nature. So I'm just bringing that up. And then my last question is in goal number 2 and 3, they tell us about expanding Temeca and Desert Aubrey, but they don't tell us what it's like. Is it partnership with like the Galilee Center? Is it its own standalone office? Is it a mobile unit? What is, or what is their goal number 2 and 3?
There, it's their own standalone offices.
Okay. That's it. Those are my only questions.
And can I add to that, Donna, is that those offices are actually located in Desert Hot Springs and Palm Springs. So what it's allowing is the expansion of Martha and their outreach. Again, not duplicating any other services, but really providing a Coachella Valley-wide approach.
Well, they're also opening one in Mecca.
In Mecca too, thank you.
Yeah, so they have 3 now, outreach.
I have a question for Greg, Carmina.
Go ahead, Greg.
Yeah, go ahead, Carmina.
Oh, okay, question for you. Just curious, how do you track the individuals that are refusing services?
Great question. So we utilize the Homeless Management Information System, HMIS system. The difficulty there though is we don't track outreach per se unless we're tying them to a specific program. So most of that tracking is primarily through our law enforcement partners or our county outreach teams or the CV Housing First outreach teams or other provider outreach teams. They basically know who those people are. And so much of it is an internal. With that being said, however, the county is implementing and transferring over to a new HMIS system. Over this month is the actual transfer. And we will be instituting more outreach data collection to address this.
Oh, okay. Okay. Thank you.
Does anyone else have any more questions regarding this grant?
So you had a motion to move approval, but you need still need a second.
I second.
Yeah. Okay, so the grant has been approved and is moving forward to the board for final approval. Next is grant number B, grant number 1171, Blood Bank of San Bernardino and Riverside Counties, also known as Livestream Blood Bank. Blood mobiles for Coachella Valley, $150,000. The information is located on pages 33 to 54. Is somebody gonna talk about this briefly?
I can. This is $150,000 towards a $250,000 purchase for a new blood mobile. They need actually two are dedicated to the Coachella Valley. The other fundraising is they are asking donors and blood donors as well as regular donors, funders, to match and get the cost for that one to be paid for. We are also, when we met with them, they're also, because one of the bonuses is they also test for plasma for COVID-19. And so they will be testing through their portable Alex machine as well during the blood donation program. And I believe when I said Dan was on the phone, the 909 number, this is the gentleman that's from the blood bank, if he wants to add anything or has anybody has any extra questions or he wants to make a comment.
I have a question. I have a question, and it's not like the best question, but I'm wondering if we can get our logo on the blood mobile. Is that like a thing?
Yeah, I'm sorry.
I'm wondering if we can get our Desert Healthcare District logo on the blood.
Yes, that is a given. Yes, it's not a. Yeah, we did mention that, and they said absolutely. Yeah.
Okay. And I appreciate their commentary on their DE&I of who is part of their board, executive team, and management team. I definitely do see what they mean when they say that they need to work on diversity at the executive team level. Especially if 40% of the Coachella Valley's population plus is Hispanic. And we have other folks that are being serviced by the blood bank. I can see their own conversation around the need to work on the diversity at the executive board level. Those are my comment and my question.
Okay. Does anyone else have any more questions? Hearing none, I'll ask if there's a motion to approve.
A motion to approve.
Carmina,
is there a second?
Carmina, second.
So the grant has been approved and is moving forward to board for final approval. We'll move on to grant number 1174, Michelle Center Geriatric Case Management Program for $100,000. It's on page 55 to 77. Does anyone have any questions regarding this grant?
Just one question. They talk about, Mizell talks about providing services outside of the Palm Springs area. I'm just wondering what that looks like, that this grant will provide services outside of the Palm Springs area. Wondering what that looks like.
It would be all residents that are outside the city of Palm Springs, because the city of Palm Springs through has funded them through a CDBG grant to specifically support their Palm Springs seniors with this geriatric case management. So they will be utilizing their Meals on Wheels contacts as well as their other outreach and working with other partners like Senior Outreach, Senior Advocates of the Desert, and other senior centers, Jocelyn and the senior centers in the East, to be able to accommodate for geriatric management, case management. Okay. So it's going to be actually anybody except Palm Springs.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
So does anyone else have any more questions? If not, is there a motion to approve the grant?
I motion to approve this grant.
a second.
Your second. Okay. So grant number 1174 has been moved. It's being moved to the board for final approval. Next, we'll move on to committee member comments. Are there any comments at this time?
No.
Hearing none, I'll move on to adjourning this part of the meeting at 12:30 p.m. and moving directly into the foundation program committee meeting. I call the foundation program committee meeting to order at 12:30 p.m. Is there a motion to approve the agenda?
A motion to approve the agenda.
Carmina, second.
Okay. Is there a motion to approve the meeting minutes from February 9th, 2021?
I motion to approve the minutes.
Carmina, second.
Okay. Thank you. We'll move on to public comments. At this time, comments from the audience may be made on items not listed on the agenda that are of public interest and within the subject matter jurisdiction of the district. The committee has a policy of limiting speakers to not more than 3 minutes. The committee cannot take actions on items not listed on the agenda. Public input may be offered on an agenda item when it comes up for discussion and or actions. Are there any public comments at this moment, Andrea?
No public comments.
Okay, hearing none, we'll move on to old business. Number one, advancing the district's role in addressing the healthcare needs of Black communities in the Coachella Valley. Part A is update requests for proposals, access to healthcare strategies, $575,000, $400,000 from the Desert Healthcare District, $100,000 from IEHP, and $75,000 from Live to Rise. Is there any new information on this item?
I think that the new information, Director Perez-Gil, is that we have received 4 proposals to address the healthcare needs of this community. We sent out those proposals to community members. We convened a meeting last week, but they were not ready yet to discuss and make a recommendation. So we have postponed that meeting for, I believe it's next Thursday, next week. Mm-hmm. And after that, we will be advancing a recommendation based on the feedback provided by those community members.
Okay, thank you, Conrado. Does anyone have any questions for Conrado regarding this RFPs? No. Hearing none, I'll move on to number two, Coachella Valley Equity Collaborative. Part A, vaccination distribution. Is there a new update?
I'll give a brief update. We have provided to date about 7,000 vaccine doses in Eastern Coachella Valley. The majority of those doses have been going to farm workers. We're continuing those events this week. We're distributing about 500. When we started, it was 250 vaccine doses. And right now mm-hmm. we are at almost 500 doses per day. I think that number is going to continue increasing. And also this Thursday, we will have an event at Coachella Valley High School to vaccinate educators. We have 500 doses that will be distributed in partnership with Coachella Valley Unified School District. We're also waiting to hear more information from the Desert Care Network to increase the number of vaccine doses that we can help distribute using the equity lens and making sure that those that are more disproportionately impacted by COVID-19 are the ones that are receiving these doses, and that we increase the number of underrepresented minorities that are receiving COVID-19 vaccines.
Okay, thank you. Does anyone have any questions regarding this information? No. Hearing none, we'll move on to number three, grant payment schedules, which are on pages 9 and 10 of the packet. Does anyone have any questions regarding this information? Hearing none, we'll move on to new business. Number one, homeless initiatives. Consideration to recommend to the board of directors approval to enter into a memorandum of understanding between the Desert Healthcare Foundation and the Coachella Valley Association of Governments in the amount of $500,000 for the period of April 1st, 2021 through June 30th, 2022 to support the current homelessness programs through the Coachella Valley Housing First program. The information is located on pages 11 through 15, and I believe we had a brief informational part of this in the board meeting. Does anyone have any questions?
Are we
hearing?
Or not, wait.
Oh,
I have.
Okay, go.
Is EPEG applying for state funding for any of this? I know the state released like millions and millions of dollars. 2019-2020. Is it just money that's coming down from the state? Is there an application process? Is it just local funding?
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, Director Borja. So CVAG, in addition to the support of that we hope from the healthcare district ongoing, but also, you know, we get the allocations from each city as well as the tribe, and the county allocates about $350,000 a year to this project. Additionally, though, too, CVAG has applied through the county and received cash funding, which is the California Emergency Solutions and Housing Grant. We've also gotten the Homeless Emergency Assistance Program. I have to remember the acronyms, HEAP grant. And so we do get, that's the money that comes from the state, and it's fed through the county's continuum of care where applications for those go. So we have gotten some of that money. What's nice about having the healthcare donate as well as the cities and the county, that allows us to actually leverage when we're doing those applications to receive that funding. So it's overall support for the wider initiative.
Thank you. I will say that the presentation that Mr. Kirk shared with us a week or two ago just kind of kept replaying in my head since he shared some of that work that they've been doing. And it was just very impressive. Like, I genuinely kept thinking, wow, like, this is working for some people, right? Like, they can help people get out of like extreme poverty. It was very impressive, to say the least. I'm wondering why the request is $500,000 when we used to share $700,000. Is that just like exact matches of cities and only five cities have given $100,000?
You want me to address that, Donna, or?
It could be. Yeah, it could be kind of cool.
Director,
I know you originally requested seven, and then we were kind of talking back and forth because we were looking more at looking at through a health lens, the chronically homeless, those that are being discharged, rather than just a pure straight match. And we were thinking, you know, at least the $500,000 would give some kind of leverage and would be more for specific services and deliverables.
But, you know, Director Borja, if you want to amend this to go to 700, we'll be fine with that. But to Donna's point, it actually, and what we saw this is while the district did do the matching program, you know, the district has a seat on the homelessness committee. They've been a partner. And so we really saw this as basically like the county donation or a tribal donation where it's separate in support of the entire initiative.
All right. Thank you. I definitely trust the work of our staff. And now that Donna shares her points, yes, I do remember that being the conversation last time and the 10-4. So thank you. Just not paying attention, I guess, or not referring back to my notes.
That's okay.
That's it. Those were all my questions on the project. I motion that we approve this.
Okay.
Okay, is there a second?
Vice
is Carmina still on the line?
No, she had to leave early.
Okay, then I second it. And it'll move on to board approval at the next board meeting. Moving on to number two, authorization to amend contract numbers 1161, 1156, 1159, and 1154 with Todec Legal Center, El Sol, NEC, Leaders Campesinos, and Visión y Compromiso, respectively, to extend and expand COVID-19 outreach and education efforts to increase the number of at-risk community members who are fully vaccinated. So the information is on page 16 to 17.
We request to withdraw this item because we received information over the weekend from the county that we will receive an amendment of the contract we already have with the county. So some of this money will come from the county.
Okay. And it will the amendment will be for vaccinations, not just testing?
Yes, correct.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. So
and thank you to the county for that. We appreciate it.
Yes, we too. There will be still, you know, we're withdrawing these with caution, because there will be additional funding coming from the county for vaccination, but they want that money to be utilized for county vaccines activities only. And one of the challenges that we will have is going to be, we're trying to expand vaccination efforts to help all communities. And that means we will partner with Desert Care Network. We will partner with Rite Aid. We will partner with anyone who is willing to give us vaccines that we can make sure are going to fill the gap that we see countywide in how racial minorities are being vaccinated at a very slow rate. And that's something we want to address. So I think we will bring this back in the near future to address the gaps that these organizations are going to have if we want to be able to support activities done by Rite Aid, Desert Care Network, Borrego, and who knows who else.
All right, I think that's fair.
Okay, so we'll wait for that to come back. We'll move on to committee member comments. Does anybody have any comments?
No comments.
I have one comment. I just want to tell Conrado happy birthday.
Thank you.
Have a blessed day. Yeah. You're welcome. And thank I want to tell much. Everybody else that you're welcome. I want to tell everyone else that I'm very thankful for the hard work that you guys are doing in helping our community. Does anyone else have comments? If not, we can adjourn the meeting at 12:43.
Happy birthday and thank you, everyone. That's it.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank
All
you.
All right. Happy birthday. We'll adjourn the meeting. Yay.
Bye. Okay. Bye. So we'll adjourn the meeting at 12:43. Bye.
Happy birthday.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Bye. Thank you.